in elementary school, in one of our science books, they had a little picture of a communication device. And so when I got home, I gathered up my friends and we decided that we would produce this communication piece. Very sophisticated. Two cups and a string. We're talking about high-tech communication. And we were a little skeptical at the moment and thinking, does this really work? Is it really possible to speak into a cup and it travel down this string and it be received by someone else who places the cup to their ear? So we tried it in my backyard, and guess what? It worked. It was amazing how sound traveled through that little string. I remember telling my mama about that experience, and she began to tell us about high tech in her childhood, and it was this phone. And this particular phone required a switchboard operator. As you'll notice, there's no dialing, there's no touch tone, there's no pulse, there's no speed dialing. You just picked it up and you accessed the switchboard operator. And from what Mamaw says, the switchboard operator knew about everything going on in town. And then we have, of course, this progression of communication that has taken us to the iPhone. More power than most computers would have ever comprehended back in the 80s and 90s. More capability. We can now communicate instantly through text messaging and email or voice, though it's archaic. But there's a progression of communication, and I wonder what created that, what started that impulse in us. What is it about us that craves communication? In fact, when you study marriage, it's often said that the number one marriage killer is the lack of communication. So there's something to this progress of communication. I was reading a book recently by Francis Schaeffer entitled, He Is There and Is Not Silent, speaking of God. And I came across this question I wanted to place before us this morning, and I want you to look at it with me. I want you to ponder this question with me. Are you ready for it? Why would it be unthinkable that the uncreated personal, that would be God, the Creator, should communicate with the created personal, that would be us? Why would God communicate with His creation in verbalized form if the uncreated personal, God, made the created personal, us, a language-communicating being? Now, that's kind of a loaded question. I want you to look at it for just a moment. Why would the Creator of the universe create us and then include communication? Why would the Creator of the universe, who was not created, He is eternal. God was never born and God will never die. God did not have a beginning. He will not have an end. He is eternal and He's self-sufficient. He does not need us, but God chose to create us and then He blessed us with a verbal communication. So God wired us for communication. And what we'll learn this morning is that when you study the Word of God, God speaks. God is a God of communication. And we'll also discover that God is a communicator who is progressive in His communication. So I want to invite you to turn with me, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, Pastor David has been walking us through our series cover to cover, and we've marched through the last 10 messages in the Old Testament. And now we're going to cross over into the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. We are entering the New Testament. Can I have an amen? Oh, you've got to get louder than that if you're going to help me preach this morning. Can I have an amen? Amen. Hebrews chapter 1. And I want us to look at two verses together. So glad you're here this morning, and it was rather cold. Beautiful outside. We could have had church outdoors. But we're glad we're inside, right? A little bit warmer. Hebrews chapter 1, and I want us to look at verses 1 and 2 together. Here we go. Let's look at verse 1. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. Now, where it says many times in various ways, we don't get this in the English version, but in the language of the New Testament, in Greek, it's a play on words. It is plumeros, meaning many times or many portions in the King James Version, plumeros. And then polutrapas means various ways or many ways. So in the language of the New Testament, it's a play on words. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, and we are living in those, he has spoken to us by his Son. Say that with me. By his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. Now, we've talked about progressive communication, how ramped up our communication is, how far we've come in the area of communication. But the same is true when it comes to revelation. God is progressive in his revelation. That is to say that over time, God has unveiled his nature, unveiled his character. He has unveiled his purposes and his plans, but it wasn't instantaneous. God unveiled the light. He unveiled the truth little by little so that we could comprehend it. Progressive revelation. It began, of course, with what we know as creation. God spoke, and it happened. Some say, I don't believe in the Big Bang theory. I do. I believe when God said, let there be light, bang! It happened. Now, here's what the Bible says in Romans chapter 1, verse 20. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen. In other words, visible. Being understood from what has been made, creation, so that men are without excuse. Now, what that revelation teaches is that just by existing, just by going outside and looking into the sky or looking into the night and seeing the stars and the moon, looking at trees and flowers and butterflies and tadpoles, would cause you to say, there must be a God. I can't create that. I can't generate that. There's somebody bigger than me, stronger than me, mightier than I am. And God is saying he has revealed himself through nature, his creation, to point you to him. But fortunately, it doesn't stop there. We have this developing disclosure of God. Next, we see the Old Testament, where God is inspiring writers. God is speaking through their personalities, their circumstances. God is using their personal experiences, and God is breathing through them to articulate what we know as the Old Testament. And we're coming to know God personally. We're coming to understand how God operates, how God thinks. We're coming to recognize God as holy, 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 because God is unveiling himself in the Old Testament. And then we come to the New Testament, where it becomes much more progressive in his revelation, because when we get to the New Testament, that's when God unveils Jesus, when God robes himself in flesh, when God takes on our humanity so that we can take on his divinity. Progressive revelation. So what's it look like in the Old Testament? God spoke. How did God speak? He would speak through angels. God would speak through visions. God would speak through dreams. God would speak through symbolic actions, like in Jeremiah 18, when God had Jeremiah go down to the potter's house. And God used that experience to communicate to Jeremiah what he was to speak to the nation of Israel. And then, oh, Elijah, earth, wind, and fire, but God wasn't in it. Then there was a gentle whisper, and that's how God spoke to Elijah. And then, of course, the miraculous signs that are throughout the Old Testament. We have Moses and the burning bush. We have the plagues. We have the crossing of the Red Sea. God even chose to speak through a donkey. I remember when God called me to preach at age 16, and I was challenged by several of my friends who thought, man, there's no way God's going to speak through you. There's no way. And I thought, man, I agree with you. I'm scared to death to stand before people and speak publicly. There's no way God would use me to preach the gospel. All I can tell you is God's called me to preach, and if he can speak through a donkey, he can speak through me. So God chose to speak through a donkey in the Old Testament. For Gideon, God spoke through a fleece. God even made an axe head float so that he could communicate. God is a God of revelation. Here's what we discover in the Old Testament. When God spoke, it was unique to that individual. It was a divine encounter. The person was sure God was speaking. There was no doubt. God is speaking. And then thirdly, the person knew what God said. So when God spoke, there was a clarity, there was an assurance, and it was a divine encounter. But that's the Old Testament. God doesn't speak any longer. He just did that in the Old Testament. God got the earth moving. It's called first cause. He initiated it. Then God is now detached. He's removed. He no longer communicates. Is that true? We know for certain that we serve a God who communicates. We have a God of revelation. God speaks. So how does God speak when we look at the New Testament? I want you to think about the box that's on the screen for a moment. And let's let the box be our life. We're in the box. And when you study humanity, what you'll discover is that we are confined to the box called natural, the natural realm. It's physical. We eat, we breathe, we sleep, we work, we learn, we grow. But it's in a box. It's the natural. We're trying to figure out our world. We're trying to make sense of our world, but we're in this box called the natural realm. And we're on this broken planet called planet Earth, which is just a speck of dust in this galaxy, which is just a speck of dust in the universe. And yet God, who created us on this broken planet, and we're in this box called the natural realm, God chooses to speak. Now, religion tries to get an individual connected to God. The purpose of religion is to get a person to get through the box, to bypass the natural realm and get into the supernatural realm. And you can trace that through Hinduism. You can trace that through Confucianism and so many other religions. It's all about trying to break out of this box, out of the natural realm, to penetrate the supernatural. But what sets Christianity apart, it's not about us getting out of the box. It's about God, our Creator, coming into our box, robing himself in flesh. And God was willing to come to us. God was willing to identify with us, be tortured by us, be hung on a cross by us. Why? Because God is serious about communication and communicating his redemptive love. So you don't have to break out of the box. God breaks in. I want you to write this statement down. This so connects with me. I've used this a few times because it's kind of my life statement. God became like us so that we could become like him. God became like us so that we could become like him. Here's how the Gospel of John states it. John 1:14, the Word became, said with me, flesh, and made his dwelling among us. God broke into our box. God came from the supernatural into the natural realm. God came to reveal himself to us. The God of revelation. I love Colossians 2:9, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. You'll remember Jesus, of course, was born. We see him showing up again, the Gospel of Luke, at age 12 in the temple, teaching with authority and asking loaded questions. Then there's 18 years of silence, and then Jesus shows up again, age 30. He just graduated from seminary, age 30, at his baptism, where he hears his words from his heavenly Father. This is my Son, whom I love. Listen to him. God affirms Jesus in his baptism. Then he's led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and he was tempted by the enemy. Satan tried to convince Jesus to take a shortcut to redemption, but Jesus was unwilling to succumb to the enemy. Instead, he yielded to the Father's will. And Jesus taught. Jesus preached. Jesus healed. Jesus extended personal touch and ministry. He was never in a hurry, and he was never late. And he said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." Jesus oriented his life to be on mission with God. And old Philip had the audacity to say, "Lord, show us the Father." And Jesus answered by saying, "Philip, haven't you been with me all this time? Haven't you been walking with me? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." Why is that? Because I and the Father are one. So here's what we notice. When God spoke through his Son, as we notice in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, that in the Old Testament, God spoke through the prophets, our forefathers, received the message of God through the prophets. But in these last days, God has spoken by his Son. Through the New Testament, we learn, first of all, the disciples were face-to-face with God in a personal relationship with Jesus. Physical proximity, very connected. Their encounter with Jesus was an encounter with God. I remember growing up, I thought God lived in the church. My mother played the piano and my mama played the organ, and sometimes they would go early to practice. And we would enter through the foyer and come down the aisle, and I would ooh and ah and thought, wow, this is where God lives. And I always thought that, like, when we were away, that God played the organ. And here's what's so amazing. When Tanya and I and Tori and Austin came to visit here for the first time, it was at night. The steeple looked so beautiful, illuminated outside, and just gorgeous campus. And we walked in here, and it was pitch black in this worship center. But the organ was being played. And we were kind of spooked. It was pitch black. We came to find out that Mr. Charles Austin, our organist, was playing. He's that good. But for a moment, I thought, maybe God does live in this building. He does play the organ. But of course, you know, I've grown out of that. Because God is not confined to a building. You see, wherever Jesus was, that's where God was. So the disciples had that intimacy, that connection with Jesus, because to be with Jesus was to be with God. And here's what we find. Their encounter with Jesus was an encounter with God, and to hear from Jesus was to hear from God. Now, how many of you have been through Henry Blackaby's Experiencing God? Would you raise your hand if you've ever been through that study? I guess it was in 1992 when I was pastoring at First Baptist Church of Folsom, and Pastor David was just 5 miles down the street at New Zion Baptist Church, and Tanya and I went through the Experiencing God study for the first time with our 6 deacons and their wives. And it was such an eye-opener for me, because growing up in a Southern Baptist church, the Holy Spirit was the most ignored person at church. And then as I studied the Word of God and realized that my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, He lives in me. And God speaks to me by the Holy Spirit. And here's a statement by Henry Blackaby you're probably familiar with. God speaks by the Holy Spirit through the Bible, prayer, circumstances, and the church. Now, why does God communicate that? In order to reveal Himself, His purposes, and, say it with me, His ways. So God is a God of revelation. To be with Jesus was to be with God. To hear from Jesus was to hear from God. To encounter Jesus was to encounter God. Then Jesus died on the cross to pay our sin debt in full. His atoning work on the cross paved the way for our salvation. So that now we can be in Christ. We can be reconciled to God. Our sins can be forgiven. Our name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We are filled with the Holy Spirit. We become the walking tabernacle of the presence of God. And now God speaks to us. Progressive revelation. Old Testament, New Testament, Jesus. And now God speaks to us by the Holy Spirit. As you open His Word, the Holy Spirit illuminates the Word of God. That's why you can give the Bible to an unbeliever and they not get it. It not make any connection with them. It's almost as though they're on the wrong radio station. But once the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within, they get tuned in to God. And when they read the Word of God, the Spirit of God illuminates the Word of God. And it comes alive in your life in the Spirit of God. Applies the Word of God to your life, and therefore you become transformed by the power of God, and you start living for Jesus instead of living for yourself. God speaks by the Holy Spirit. So why does God speak? You may want to jot these down. God speaks so that you can be a recipient of His redemptive activity. God speaks so that you can be a recipient. A word I'd probably put in the notes in your listening guide is gift, as in gift of eternal life. God speaks so that you can receive the gift of eternal life. God also speaks so that you can be not only a recipient, but a participant in His redemptive activity. God speaks so that you can get saved. You receive the gift of eternal life. But God also speaks so that you can get in the game, that you can get on the playing field, that you can join God in His redemptive activity. God didn't save you to sit and soak. God saved you so that you can serve and start sharing Jesus with people. That's why He came to your rescue and filled you with His Spirit so that you can be a participant. God also speaks so that you can know Jesus personally. It's as though it were yesterday, March 28th, 1979. I was just about to turn 10. It's a Thursday night, O.B. Robertson preaching in my home church, Horseshoe Drive Baptist Church, preaching a revival. And I'll never forget, the Spirit of God so tugged on my heart during the invitation that I slipped out from where I was seated and I came right down this aisle and I took the preacher by the hand and gave my heart to Jesus. I was saved. The Jesus that I'd been taught in Sunday school. I had been taught about Him, about His life, His death, His burial, His resurrection, and now He became my Lord and my Savior. And being reared in a single parent home, my parents divorced when I was 7, you have no idea how refreshing it was to be introduced to a father who would never let me down. And I've been walking with Him intimately for the past 30 years. God speaks so that you can make Jesus known intentionally. God wants you to know Him personally. That's why God speaks. But God also wants you to make Jesus known intentionally, on purpose. Make Jesus known. I love Philemon 1:6 where the Bible says, I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith. That's why God speaks, so that we can join Him in His redemptive activity, making Jesus known. But I love this. God also speaks so that you can continue the ministry of Jesus. I want you to look to someone around you and just say, "You're Jesus." Would you do that? Now look back at them and say, "Well, I know that." You are to be Jesus. That's why God speaks. That's why God saved you. That's why God filled you with His Spirit, so that you could be Jesus on the earth. Where is Jesus right now? Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. Where's the Holy Spirit? He's living inside of you, making intercession on your behalf. And we are placed here in Houston, Texas, to continue the ministry of Jesus. What Jesus started, He wants us to continue. And that's finding a need and meeting it. It's building bridges to broken people. It's being Jesus to those who don't know Him. I love how Johnny Hunt says it. Live in such a way that those who don't know God but know you will come to know God because they know you. Continue the ministry of Jesus. Now let's get personal. We get to cultivate the relationship. God does not want you to live the Christian life emotionally detached or intellectually suspended. God wants you fully engaged in a vibrant love relationship with Jesus Christ, that you know Him so personally and intimately, just as much or more than you would know a best friend or a mate, that you're to have that kind of vibrant love relationship with Jesus. And let me give you the key word for that: daily. Jesus said, "If anyone is to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me monthly." Is that what your Bible says? Oh, follow me weekly. Is that what your Bible says? No, daily. The Christian life is so daily. That's why Jesus said, when you pray, give us this day our daily bread. So cultivate the relationship. And here's what happens. You'll come to know His voice. I love John 10:27. My sheep listen to me, listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. There's a connection. There's an intimacy there. Why? Because you have a vibrant love relationship with Christ that you're nurturing and cultivating, and you learn to recognize His voice. I love 1 Corinthians 1:9. God, who has called you into fellowship, koinonia, with His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, is faithful. Now delete the middle part. God is faithful. Say it with me. God is faithful. Now add the middle. Who has called you into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, is faithful. God has called you into fellowship. Don't just do church. Just don't do the Christian life. You can't live it anyway in your own strength. Come into a vibrant love relationship with Jesus Christ. That's why God speaks. In the first century, a disciple would be attached to his rabbi. He would sit at his rabbi's feet. He would watch everything the rabbi did, how the rabbi interacted with people, how the rabbi conducted his life, how the rabbi would navigate the paths of life. The disciples would follow the rabbi wherever he would go on the dusty roads. And one of the highest compliments a disciple could be paid is when someone would say to him, "May you be covered in the dust of your rabbi." May you be covered in the dust of your rabbi.
We hope you enjoyed the message today and that it'll be a source of encouragement to you this week. We desire to help people make sense out of life through Christ-centered living. It all begins with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10 that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. Have you placed your trust in Christ? Well, no one can get to heaven by being good enough. We all have to trust Jesus Christ alone for forgiveness of sin and a home in heaven. For more information on this unique life in Christ, as well as more information on Champion Forest Baptist Church, we invite you to go to our website at championforest.org.